Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find out what matters to you, so you can do more of it. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
We're going to talk a little West Virginia basketball. Our friend Mike Kazaza joins us now, 24/7 Sports. And Mike, this was very expected that, you know, they were going to do a national search, and I guess they would have, they probably would have had to have a fantastic year for that not to happen. What do you think, where do you think the search will start and focus on? What are they really looking to bring to West Virginia? Because there's not another Bob Huggins out there, so it would be kind of hard to say, like, we just want that guy just less controversial.
Yeah, in a perfect world, right? You just kind of snap your fingers and get that guy out of the lab, which I think is kind of what they're going to try to do. You know, it's a landmark hire for any athletic director when you're as established as Bob Huggins was here. That can be really difficult because you kind of have to dictate the terms of his exit. And this is a newish athletic director. He's been here a little bit more than 12 months, I believe. A lot of people know in that area, Ren Baker. So Bob Huggins made the hard part really easy by kind of acting up and acting out twice in about 6 or 7 weeks over the summer and really let the school know the decision. So that becomes inconvenient at that time, but they spent 9 or 10 months really kind of plotting who would be available and then just tracking those coaches during the year about, you know, what's the profile for West Virginia for the Big 12 defense, offense, whatever. And, you know, where does it start? It starts with not Bob Huggins, but that's important too, because it's been controversial with him here. He's wanted to get his job back, you know, as recently as the middle of the season. You know, he showed up at senior night for West Virginia and also Cincinnati. There's still some questions as to, like, exactly what he's up to and what he's trying to do, but they've come out and said it's not going to be him. They can't be more clear than that. But now they have to figure out how can they get somebody who knows that Bob Huggins is not going to be lingering and kind of casting a shadow, but also this isn't going to be an affiliate of his, like an Andy Kennedy at UAB, at Derek Calhoun at Youngstown State. They're going to go, you know, far from outside the tree. And this is going to be the athletic director's hire. And for the longest time, this has been Bob Huggins' program. And there's not a large number of schools anymore that are identified by their head coach, and it's probably time for West Virginia to see, you know, what the program can actually do and how it can sustain on its own. So get the right guy who can pull all the levers.
Mike, I know now everybody's ready to move forward and turn that page, but Josh Eilert dealt a tough hand just because of the situation that you mentioned a second ago. I don't want to call it a throwaway year or anything like that because of the people involved working hard, but how would you describe just the last few months and just the ups and downs of this basketball season?
I mean, I don't think that's the wrong phrase. It's harsh, but let's be real. Like, yeah. They have more losses than ever. They have more losses than ever in school history. And this is a pretty proud program that went 0-9 on the road and 0-13 away from home, got beat by 30-plus points three times in conference play. It just didn't have anything right. And I think if you also factor in the fact that they had what looked like a really good NIL class and it just imploded on them, and you could just tell the pieces didn't fit and the players, frankly, weren't good enough, and maybe the coaching wasn't up to par to actually, you know, mix everything in the right direction, none of this is repeatable. So you can throw that away. I think that's okay. It's a harsh thing, but that's the reality here. And you go in a different direction. You find somebody who they are going to – it's not popular because it's 2024, but they're going to make a push for a defensive-minded head coach because defense steals culture. And if you can get culture by that, that's going to fix a lot of what their problems is here. But they're also going to have to bring in maybe 10 people from the transfer portal or the freshman class, and you're going to have a lot of clay. You get the mold. So I think that it's maybe the how about this? It was like the windshield wiper year. You just you make a mess in the windshield, and you press the lever, and all of a sudden you hear a couple squeaks, and everything's clean, and you start over again. I think that's kind of where they're at right now.
How much did the Raekwon battle situation, like him, you know, having to go to court and all that, kind of affect the continuity of this year?
It was a confluence of events because he was eligible after 9 games. The court ruling also made a player they had no intention to play eligible, and you're not going to tell him that he's eligible to play and he's going to continue redshirting. And at the exact same time, their starting point guard, Kerr Creasa, who, by the way, was suspended for an NCAA violation he committed at Arizona. I don't know why it didn't wash up on Arizona's shore, but just Virginia's, but he was suspended for 9 games. So in the 10th game of the season, they're on the road against UMass with Bob Huggins in the crowd. And they have 3 new players in the team, except right before tip, they realize that Battle isn't going to play because he's got the flu. So they don't even get their full lineup on the floor that day. And then just to top it off, here's the cherry on the Sunday of the season, their starting center, Jesse Edwards, breaks his wrist, needs surgery, and he misses 9 games. So it never even got into neutral, never mind drive, first gear, second gear. They sputtered and sputtered, and they didn't have their full roster until the 20th game of the year. They were 7-13 at that point. They just weren't going to punch back in this conference.
Has it been uncomfortable with Bob Huggins hanging around?
It's yeah. I've talked to him a couple of times, and it's been pleasant. He looks great. He's lost a lot of weight. People will tell you anecdotally he's taken his health very seriously, and I think the job sometimes doesn't permit that. The job can be unforgiving, and I think that he's been open about, you know, he's had some devices and some addiction problems he's had to address. And I don't think the season lets you really do that sometimes. So out of the circus for a while, it's been good for him. That's been redeeming. And then if you just even watch what happened yesterday, their biggest donor is Ken Kendrick. And he was one of the co-founders of the trust. He owns the Arizona Diamondbacks, and he nuked Huggins on the radio. Just said that he has no place leading young men. And then Huggins came back, and I just saw like a thing. It's a Huggins statement. I was like, oh my gosh, you know, how bombastic and combative is this going to be? And it was the highest road you could possibly take if you're Bob Huggins in that situation, where he said that, you know, I hope that people look at this criticism of me and think of other people who struggle with addiction in West Virginia and the shame they feel and how they deal with it. And when everybody's pointing arrows at you because you have problems, it can be hard for you to admit or confront or address your problems. And to me, that was quite contrite of him. And he's never really had that reputation in the past year. Most of his immediate reaction upon his retirement or resignation, by the way, we had a week-long dispute as to whether or not he did or did not retire or resign, or if his wife resigned or retired for him because he doesn't know how to use email. Total mess. But it was always not his fault. It was something else, someone else. My lawyer wanted me to do this. My wife sent the email. They never gave me time to get my job back and go to rehab and assess things. It was never his fault. And to see him come back yesterday and say, I'm working on myself here. You know, I hope that people can look what happened to me. Don't treat other people the same way. That was refreshing. I think that's like a big step, but he's definitely wanted to get his job back. He's had relationships with players. Again, he showed up unexpectedly at an exhibition game this year. They didn't tell the university. Bob Huggins have to tell the university he's coming to a basketball game? No. but it was nevertheless notable. And then he's there at senior night walking players across the floor that no one even knew he was coming for that one, too. So it's not been perfect this year, but I think that he's slowly understood that there's more important things than trying to fight a battle he's not going to win, which is getting his job back.
Do you foresee him getting another coaching job?
I know that the university is rooting for it. I think that they would be the strongest character witness, whether or not they believe it or mean it. I'm not sure, but they really just kind of want him out of sight, out of mind, for one. And number two, like, he's such an invisible hand, but in a good way. Whereas if you have a good relationship with him, West Virginia can be donor dependent. And again, their name, image, and likeness apparatus was very strong last year, but so many of the gifts were tied to Bob Huggins being the coach and just like, hey, we want this to happen for him at the end of his career. Here's some money, make it happen. Well, those gifts were not made in perpetuity. And also, he's not around anymore. So they're not going to give money to a coach they don't know. They're not going to give money to a university they don't agree with the decision they made. But if you get him on good terms, you get those people back, the wheel starts spinning in the right direction again. But also, he's out of the way of coaches who probably have to wonder, is he going to be interfering? You know, is he going to be undermining with donors or sponsors or anything like that? And, you know, just anecdotally, West Virginia is interested in Chris Mack. Chris Mack was the head coach of Xavier. Xavier and Cincinnati just historically do not have a great relationship. But on top of that, Chris Mack had to deal with the Rick Pitino fallout when he took over at Louisville. He was not the coach right after, but he was the coach after the guy who was at Pitino. That's the exact same thing that he'd be walking into here. He's not the guy after Huggins, but he's the guy after the guy who's after Huggins. I think he'd want to have a lot of answers to questions he would have about who's going to be there, which makes me think that, again, Ken Kendrick, just like I said, nuking Huggins yesterday, makes me think that's about like the boldest and brightest all clear sign you can give any potential candidate. If a guy who wields as much power as Ken Kendrick can go with Bob Huggins, who wields as much power as he does, you pretty much have seen where West Virginia's allegiance is and where the donation allegiance is. I think that's a strong indication of where things are going, and that was probably meant to speak to prospective coaches.
Do you see them, like, Dusty May is probably the hottest name outside of the Power Five coaches that will get talks. Do you see them making a run at coaches like that, or because he's going to be involved in probably Louisville, probably Ohio State, and a couple others, that they maybe would back off that and go in a different direction?
There's a relationship with their athletic director and Dusty May. They know each other. So when they were having these conversations last year in June in earnest as to who they could get, they talked about a couple of people. I know this to be fact, like Andy Enfield, Chris Holtman, and Dusty May. And none of those guys are going to leave. There's more people, but just everybody had an example. Like Andy Enfield had just signed Bronny James. He wasn't leaving in June for West Virginia. Chris Holtman, there was a question as to whether or not he would leave, but he also knew his AD was leaving, and he probably wasn't on firm ground with the transition. And then May somehow brought his entire team back, despite outside interference from NIL suitors and all that. There's no way he's leaving his team in June, even for a high major job. But they've been on the scent for a while, and May is like the one guy who's still standing. You're not hiring Enfield. You're not hiring Holtman right now. Paul did that. So May is still there, but everybody wants him because I know their record isn't as good this year. But just imagine being FIU and for the first time ever taking everybody's best shot every night. I think their season is perhaps more impressive this year, no less impressive. But everybody's going to want a piece of that now too. So how competitive can West Virginia be? I don't think that they're going to pay $3.5-4 million for a coach. They paid Huggins $4.15 million. $3 million is probably the soft spot, and their athletic director said yesterday they're not going to get into a bidding war. They're not going to let other people's business dictate their business. I don't like reading between the lines and putting words into people's mouths, but that kind of makes me think that they're not going to outbid a Louisville or an Ohio State for a Dusty May, which means they're going to go to a second cut of candidates, which I think is pretty good. You know, I've heard like there's definite interest in Darian DeVries. But further down the list, you know, Mark Byington at JMU, somewhere in between, a Kyle Smith at Washington State, who has probably made it clear he's looking to move on because of the situation in the Pac-12. I think that this is a good job that they fancy as a top 15, top 20 program, and they're going to have to find a way to get a top 15, top 20 caliber coach. And boy, if they don't, I don't know what they've been doing for 9 months, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mike, great stuff. Thank you so much for hopping on. Always great to have you on the show when we do, and we'll talk to you again probably when they hire a coach.
Right around Final Four time, I think. I have vacation after that, so the sooner the better. I hope Brent Baker's listening.
I'll send him a message and say, for Mike's sake, like, let's be cool about this, Rand.
Thanks, so, Mike.
All right, thanks. Mike Casasa there with us on 365 Sports.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.